Welcome to the Georgia Bulldogs Podcast, your only source on the web for exclusive content from the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network, historic game rewinds, and original programming from the Bulldogs. Now, here's this week's episode of Coach Kirby Smart's Monday Media Conference.
Thanks, Claude. Looking forward to SEC Championship game. Always a great venue, a great event. I spoke on this yesterday. I feel like I'm saying the same thing twice, but just an incredible atmosphere to play in. Never got a chance to play in it as a player, but have coached in it a lot of times, and it's a just special atmosphere. And the fan bases of both teams, regardless of who's in it, are always so passionate, and I'm excited for our players to get an opportunity to play in it. And you know, it's the first time, I guess, since we've been here that we've got a less of a portion of guys that have played in it. So our upperclassmen have. Some of them have played in two of them, and some in one, and some in zero. So very important to keep your composure and have a good plan of attack and then execute it. They got all their questions out yesterday, Claude.
Does feel that way, but specifically on facing Alabama's defense and Will Anderson and all that entails, your left tackle situation, do you feel good about Broderick Jones being able to handle what all that Alabama can bring, or would you? Where is Jamari in his recovery, and would he be, you know, well enough to return to that position for you this week?
Don't know the answer to that. Jamari's going to practice today. Jamari had a setback last week that was minor, but it was enough that he couldn't play this past week. You know, we wanted to get him out there. I thought he was going to play against Georgia Tech, but once he had the setback, it was a little tougher for him too. We'll find out where he's at. Pressure getting to you. It's really up to how he practices and what he does. The good news is. You know, he's played a lot of SEC football. He's blocked some really good players before. They have some tremendous edge rush guys, including Will and others. And they do a good job of attacking that. But, I mean, he has to go against, you know, all camp he's had to go against really good pass rushers. Every Thursday he gets to go against, you know, our guys and compete in 2 minute and things like that. So, I mean, if he's healthy, I feel good about it, Jamari being able to play. If he's not, Broderick's played in some big games now too. And Broderick's gone on the road and played in an Auburn environment, in a Tennessee, I guess it was Tennessee environment where he got to play. And so I'm pleased with what Broderick's been able to do. Broderick's a really good athlete. And hey, they got good players. We got good players. They get to go against each other. And excited to see them go play. But I'm not sitting here overly concerned about just left tackle. I mean, we got a block. We got to throw and catch. We got to be able to run the ball. We got to be able to have some form of balance, and we got to do what we do better than what they do.
Hey Kirby, how do you use your tight ends not just as a receiving aspect, but also in the blocking aspect of your offense?
Yeah, those three guys have kind of been the unsung heroes. In some cases, I guess you could say they're not unsung, but they're the unsung heroes in terms of everything they've been able to do. Number one, they've been dependable. Outside of Darnell, they've been healthy. And when you get dependable, healthy talent, good pass catchers, I think Coach Hartley's done a tremendous job of them in run blocking. You know, it's hard to find tight ends that can block defensive ends in NFL, but in the SEC. And our guys, we don't leave them out on an island often, but they hold up when they have to block in the run game and get movement and read things. They do a tremendous job. So they've been weapons catching the ball, and they've been targets. Obviously, Brock has been that, but the other guys have been as well. So they're a big part of our success on offense.
Kirby, why do you think you guys have been able to hold up well from a pass rush perspective after Adam Anderson wasn't available? And in terms of, I know you have other quality guys, but did you guys make some tweaks in terms of how you approach that?
Not really. I mean, we haven't changed a lot. The guys have bought in. We've got, you know, a good group. We've got less depth across the defensive line now in edge rushers than we had previously. But, I mean, you get good rushers, you let them rush. You know, they'll go against one of the best tackles in the country and our best groups that we faced as a whole. So they'll have to do a really good job.
Kirby, I know you hate the whole U-verse Nick narrative in the media and fans, but I'm just wondering, in the three times you've coached against him, have you found anything unique, different about coaching against Nick Saban in a game?
You got really good players. I mean, isn't that what it's about? I always defer to the players in terms of games. I mean, people have just talked about our defense a lot this year, but it's really about the players. It's not about Coach Lanning or myself, or it's about the players. And I've got immense amount of respect for Nick and the job he's done and what he's done in Alabama the time I was there and since I've left. But he'll be the first to admit it's the phone calls Monday through Thursday and the official visits Saturday and Sunday that get the job done in terms of the players. But it does take a complete organization and great leadership, and he's provided that.
I know you talked about having your players run early in the week, get ready for a four-quarter game, but the other part of that is the poise in those make-or-break moments in the fourth quarter. Is that something you can simulate, or you can't have that until you have that?
Well, it depends on how you view every moment. I mean, I look at every moment in opportunity and practice. We're coaching. We're demanding excellence. We create adversity because we go against each other. We put, hey, today we got 5 2-point plays. Offense, you're going to go ones on ones. We're going to go out here and see who wins the most, best 3 out of 5, 2 points. I mean, there's some adversity in that. Those are heat of the moment type plays. I know for a lot of you guys, you'd say, well, that's not the same as a game. It is. I mean, we make it like a game. You can only want to do it right so bad. And if you want to do it really right in practice, you're creating that same situation. And a lot of our guys have played in the heat of the moment many times. I mean, I look at every start of every game that way. So I don't put greater emphasis. There's no like, okay, well, we've got to simulate this or this week. No, we got to go be who we are, and we got to do it better than they do it. And that's your goal.
Kirby, what concerns you most about Metchie and Jamison Williams?
I mean, the quarterback ability to get them the ball. I mean, they're really elite wideouts, but what puts them over the top is the distributor. You know, he is an incredible athlete, player, decision maker. What he doesn't get enough credit for is when the play breaks down, his skill set to deliver the ball, make people miss. And he sets up rushers. He's like a point guard. He's like an elite point guard that can distribute the ball. And when he's dribbling down the court, he's got the ability to throw it over there, and then he can make you miss. And he almost baits rushers. You know, he sits back there and he's very patient, keeps his eyes downfield, great composure. But he makes those guys even better, because where there might be another guy like that somewhere, they might not have the distributor to get them the ball. And you know, he does a tremendous job. And I think that O'Brien and them do a great job of putting them in positions that they're hard to cover. You know, they mix up where they put them. They're not here and there, and that's where they are. They move those guys around.
Kirby, back in the spring, I asked you who your field general was on defense, and unequivocally it was N'Kobe, even though he wasn't on the field. How much do you think that experience for him actually helped him be an even better leader? And then also kind of walk through George Pickens' similar journey, not being on the field but growing, you know, in that role.
Yeah, N'Kobe's been he's an unquestioned leader because of the way he works, the way he worked in the offseason, the way he demands that others work. He holds them accountable. He did that when he was hurt. He's done it since he's been back. I mean, you couldn't ask him to put a better foot forward in terms of his work ethic. And Quay goes right along with that. That group, Quay, he, and Channing, work so hard that it raises the standard for everybody else. For George, you know, he was away for so long that, you know, he wasn't really getting to do things with us when he was rehabbing with Ron and not coming to practice and not being out there and working underwater and working in the weight room. And there's a long time where he wasn't really with us. And he's been with us for now. I mean, it's been a while now that he's been coming back, building up to it. And I think he's had a good influence on the young receivers. And some of those guys had to play faster than maybe you would have wanted because of injuries. And they've been thrown to the fire, and he's provided some experience for those guys.
Kirby, last year in that game against Alabama, you know, Stetson had some plays in that second half where he put the ball in danger and made some, you know, poor decisions. How have you seen him grow in that aspect this year of taking care of the ball and, you know, kind of like you said, being Bryce Young, you know, being a distributor to the playmakers and, you know, not putting the ball in harm's way?
Yeah, I think a big part of it is, number one, protection. How well can you protect and allow him to? Because no quarterback's very good without protection. I think we've seen all good quarterbacks have rough days when the protection's not there. So the first thing you have to do is protect him well. You have to have a plan. He has to understand the plan. You have to avoid adverse situations. You know, you get yourself in a bunch of third and longs. I don't care who your quarterback is. He's going to struggle because those take longer routes downfield to develop if you're going to try to get a first down. And experience, that's the number one thing that Stetson's been able to grow from is looking back at that game. I don't know what that was, his second, third, I don't remember, the fourth start. And, you know, he's played a lot more football now and certainly has improved in terms of decision making. But that's a critical piece to every game is that player at that position makes so many decisions during the game that the outcome is usually affected a lot by the quarterbacks that play in the game.
Kirby, didn't notice Kendall Milton playing on Saturday, and I know y'all had targeted Georgia Tech as the return date. Wanted to see if there was an update on his potential to play Saturday.
Hopeful to get him back. He was close this week, wasn't able to go. Would have loved to have played him. I'm going to try to work him back in some this week and just see where he is. That's one of those things. It's a confidence issue at MCL. It's an MCL with a knee, and he's gained a lot more confidence. I know he looked a lot better Saturday than he did on Wednesday and Thursday when he was out there warming up.
Two questions, if I would. First, just an update on Kyaris Jackson, if you've been able to get one since we last talked to you. And secondly, the Auburn-Alabama game, were you able to watch that in real time on Saturday after the game? And I just wonder if you did, are you able to watch a game like that and take in kind of the drama of it, or is it you watch it clinically, you know, to what is Alabama doing here?
There'll be plenty of time to watch it as we've done since the game that way. I think it's more substitution pattern, seeing things you don't see on the coach's copy. You know, you're watching the game in and of itself of offense and defense and special teams, how they kind of go intertwined. When you watch a coach's copy, you're just watching offense, watching defense, or watching special teams. You're not seeing the parts altogether. So we were able to watch some of it on the bus ride back. It was in and out on the bus, but obviously, we've watched it since yesterday and today, trying to prepare as we watch them play, everybody they've played. As far as Kyaris, we think he's going to be fine. It's not bothering him as bad right now, but won't know for sure until he goes out and practices this week.
I don't think your team is thrilled in the second half. You spoke yesterday about creating adversity in practice situations. Can you expound on how you – and obviously, it's a good thing you haven't trailed in – late in games, but can you talk about how you rely on what you do in practice to create situations you might have to rely on now at this time of the season?
Yeah, the situation doesn't change when you trail, right? I mean, like if you're worried about that, then you're worried about the wrong thing. I'm like, you need to be focused on what you have to do to execute. You know, you have a plan of how are we going to run the ball? How are we going to throw the ball? How are we going to stop them? What's our plan of attack on special teams? Does that plan deteriorate and evaporate if you don't have a lead? Not necessarily. You may have to tweak some things. You may have to move some things around. But you got to figure out what you're doing well or what they're doing different. That's the chess piece of the decision-making process. But that's not in and all everything where it's you have to worry about that. The big thing is what do we have to do to get our players to execute at the highest level in an extreme environment? And some of them having some anxiety. You want to try to remove that and allow them to play with confidence. That's our emphasis.
Kirby, I think a lot of people nationally may see what y'all are doing on defense and assume that, oh, you're just winning the old Georgia Kirby way of a few years ago. But how much do you think what you all did on offense and opening things up is also to credit for where you all are?
How much is to credit our defense, the fact we've opened up? Well, I mean, I think we've got good players on offense, and I think Munkin's doing a tremendous job of using their skill set. I still don't know if we're as open as we would love to be. We've had injuries at wide out. We've had to do it some different ways. I mean, there's not a I mean, the huge difference in our offense is the production we've been able to have in terms of explosive plays, use of tight ends who are talented. Let's be honest, insert Brock Bowers and insert Darnell Washington. You've increased the talent level at that position. We're using the backs. I feel like we've used the backs well before, and we've got a good group of wideouts. I think Coach Munkin's done a tremendous job of using our personnel where we may not be as big on the offensive line as we've been in the past. But I do think playing good offense is important to your success. You can't be one-sided and expect to be successful. But the area that we've left most deficient is probably special teams. I think we're good in special teams. I don't think we're elite or great, and I think that we can improve on that.
Two questions. One, quick update on Chris Smith, and then two, sort of piggybacking off Seth's question there. Last time you guys played in the SEC championship game, you lost by 27 points. How has this program changed since that game or since that day?
Well, number one, the team we played that day was a really good football team, probably one of the best that I've seen. And I've been in the SEC for 18 or 19 years, so they were a tremendous football team with a really good football team. We've improved. I think we've recruited well. I think our kids are playing with confidence. I think there's a lot of things outside of just the X and O's of football that this team has really connected, and they've done a good job of from a leadership standpoint. So we're not the same team we were then, and there's some areas that team was probably more talented than this team. But the strength of this team, I've said it repeatedly, is the team. And the fact that it is a team and it's not a one-man show of any kind, it's really spread across, has been the strength of this team. As far as Chris, we're hopeful he's able to go today. He did some running yesterday, and we're hopeful to get him back. But, again, until I see it and him go out there and practice, I won't know.
Kirby, what are your impressions of Alabama's offensive line, and what did Auburn do to be so effective in pressure?
Well, first off, Auburn played them in a very different style. I mean, it was not what you see Auburn play all the time. They used a couple different methods with their receivers and different things. But you know, their offensive line is, you know, they had X amount of first round draft picks on that offense last year. So anytime you have that, you're going to have guys that have to get playing time, get experience. They moved a guard, you know, to tackle, and he's been able to play. They've changed out their center a couple times, played different guys there. They've had some injuries. They've had guys move in and out at right tackle, just as all of us in the SEC have to do in finding the right combination. You have injuries. You have to move people around. I think they've had to do that. And anytime you lose the talent they have, you're going to have guys that come back and have to grow with experience. I think they've gotten better throughout. But, you know, it's more to it than just what Auburn did. You know, I don't know how you guys look at it, but that's a really tough place to play. And so is A&M. And that doesn't fall on deaf ears with our staff and understand probably two of the hardest places to play in the country are right there, because, you know, we haven't been to A&M, but I've been to A&M, and we've always gone to Auburn, and it's a tough environment. That game is always different. The 9 years I was there, you never could judge anything on that game because it's such a interstate rivalry.
Kirby, I guess this trip to the SEC championship game is different for you all in that there's a perception that playoff-wise you guys could get in even if you lose. How does that change anything with your guys, you think?
I don't see that has anything to do with anything. I mean, I've said all my career that, you know, to win SEC championships is almost just as hard, because the years that I spent in Alabama, you could say that winning the SEC championship was just as hard as trying to win a national championship. And it's one of our goals. You know, we want to put it on this wall in here. And to do that, you got to win the SEC. And that's what we're focused on.
Kirby, talk a little, obviously turnover margin's important in every game. How much do you preach to that going into, you know, these higher sweepstakes games?
You try your best, and you know, you try to simulate as many ways as possible. We've done a lot of different things to try to create some advantage for ourselves in terms of turnovers. We have not been where we need to be at that. You know, we've had like four or five games we're dead even. Three games where we lost the turnover margin. You know, and if you're considerably better than somebody, that doesn't show itself. It doesn't become glaring. in these type games, it's huge. This and explosive plays, that and explosive plays are critical, and we have to be able to generate more, and we have to be able to protect the ball, which I feel like our offense has done a good job protecting the ball. We haven't gotten enough defensively, and that's a big emphasis for us this week.
You talked about the last time you guys were in the SEC championship. I want to take you back to 2017 when you guys actually won it, your second season here as head coach. What do you remember most about that day, the game, just the players afterwards?
Long time ago. Just the excitement, the joy of accomplishing something special with a really good group. You know, all those kids had come back. All those kids, Georgia meant so much to them. It was our first time really doing it under this staff. I think the significant feeling they had of winning the SEC championship kind of superseded the fact that, oh, we're going to be in the playoffs now too. It was the fact that they had overcome the obstacle or the hurdle that was Auburn earlier in the year, and we didn't play our best game, and vindication of, okay, we won this game, now we're SEC champs, let's worry about the next chapter after that. And I think that's what made it special.
Thanks for listening to the Georgia Bulldogs podcast, your only source on the web for exclusive content from the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network, historic game rewinds, and original programming from the Bulldogs. Make sure you comment, subscribe, and rate this programming to continue to receive the best in Bulldogs content. Go Dogs!